you listen to His Glory Lives broadcast to tell you Jesus Christ is alive and His glory lives in the believer. We're dedicated to the study of the Word of God and promoting the gospel. Good morning. Today we're studying 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Last week we talked about the wisdom of God as compared with the wisdom of man, and we discovered that the wisdom of God is the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the wisdom to follow and obey Him in our everyday lives. That's wisdom. We're going to be discussing all the definitions of what wisdom is today in our lesson. And we will discuss what's meant by the term hidden wisdom of God that's mentioned in our lesson today. And I'm sure the first question that you want to ask is, why would God want to hide His wisdom from us? Why is it called hidden? Paul wasn't saying that God wants to hide His wisdom from us, or even that it was hidden, in the sense that He didn't want us to know about it. But he was saying it was hidden from the arrogance of a prideful earthly mind and will not be revealed to anyone looking in all the normal places that a worldly person would normally seek to find it. Because it's not in fame, it's not in fortune, it's not in earthly pleasures, and it's not in wealth. But it's in looking to heavenly things and having our mind on Christ who is above. It is hidden, which means that it's not easily visible to the passerby. The wisdom of God must be sought after. However, the Spirit of God is always pursuing the sinner, and He is always trying to show him the way to God. But Jesus said to seek Him and you will find Him. The earthly mind cannot grasp the things of God. They must be spiritually discerned and it must be revealed by the Spirit of God. Now we read last week in 1 Corinthians 1 and 19, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and the intelligence of the intelligent. I will frustrate. And where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. So Jesus' intent is that someone like a child would receive His truth and wisdom, and someone who is extremely wise in their own eyes and experience would despise it. Have you ever talked with anyone who was in great spiritual darkness? I knew a lady once who was so mixed up in her thinking of godly things and about God and heaven. She would come up with the most bizarre answers to explain the things of God. She was trying to understand God in her human thinking. And it was obvious that she didn't look at the things of God from a spiritual standpoint, but she was looking at it from humanistic viewpoints. And when she read the Bible, she said she didn't understand it, but she would try to give the meaning anyway. And when she realized that she didn't know the meaning, she asked the Lord to give her wisdom. And the last time that I talked with her, I was really amazed to see what the Holy Spirit had done in her life and how He had transformed her thinking when she was led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit revealed to her the mysteries of the Word of God. So hidden wisdom in these verses is meaning it's not easily visible, but that it can be found if one seeks and asks God for it. A few years ago, an article appeared in Billy Graham's Decision magazine about the circus high wire family called the Flying Walindas. They made a movie about their life called The Great Walindas. I want to read you an excerpt of this wonderful article. Tino Walinda was the grandson of Carl Walinda, called the Great Walinda, and he found the Lord. And he wrote this article and he titled it, He Found Me. He said, I was on a cable that was 5/8 inches thick at the height of 30 to 35 feet between two posts that usually are 30 feet apart. I've walked cables that were higher than 100 feet in the air and cables that were longer than 600 feet across. I've walked over dens of lions and tigers, between buildings, across rivers, and over a pool that contained more than 50 man-eating sharks. And many people have thought that I'm a fool to do that. But the Bible says that the real fool is the one who says that there's no God. He says, at age 19, I thought I was a real intellectual. I was always eager to talk with people about things, even religion. If someone would talk to me about God, though, I would say, well, I've thought about this, and I've decided that I'm an agnostic. So Tino Welinda was an agnostic. He considered himself to be an intellectual, and he was very sure of himself, even though he walked a tightrope that could have led to his death at any moment. But he was not concerned with spiritual things, and he felt intellectually that he didn't need to know God. But he said, in 1971, a friend gave me a book about Bible prophecy, and it told of all the prophecies of Jesus that had come true. So maybe he thought, just maybe the Bible might be true, he said. Maybe there is a God, and maybe I should pay attention. Especially since he's walking the tightrope. But he said the thing that really got his attention was that God's word would judge his thoughts. In Hebrews 4:12 he read, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. He said that if he thought there was a God, that God looked on us as we look upon each other. But when he read that God looks inside his heart, then he also began to look inside his heart, and he didn't like what he saw. He said he continued reading in Hebrews, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. He said, as I looked at myself, I saw that there's no hope, and I was lost. So later he was led to the Lord by his friend Harry, and he prayed and he told the Lord that he was a sinner and that he needed him in his life. And from that point on, he says, my life, my goals, my direction changed dramatically. He said, I would venture to say that people don't go looking for God first. Jesus comes looking for us. And I thank God that when I wasn't looking for him, he found me. And that's the way the gospel is and the wisdom of God is. When you least expect it, the wisdom of God will suddenly appear and you will see yourself as he sees you, and then you'll see Jesus. He said when he was 7 years old, his grandfather, Carl Welinda, put him on a wire 2 feet off the ground. He said he taught me all the elementary skills, how to hold my body so that I remained stiff and rigid, how to place my feet on the wire with my big toe on the wire and my heel to the inside, how to hold the pole with my elbows close to my body. But the most important thing that my grandfather taught me was that I needed to focus my attention on a point at the end of the wire. I need a point to concentrate on to keep me balanced. And isn't that the way that it is in walking the Christian life? The ultimate goal is to keep our eyes focused on the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we need to focus our eyes on a fixed point. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, in Hebrews 12:2. He said, at one time or another, I've taken each of my four children on my shoulders and I've walked across the wire. And in those situations, the children really can't do any balancing. I'm the one who has to balance and support them. And people have asked the children, well, aren't you scared? No, they've said. And when they've been asked, well, why aren't you scared? They said, because that's my daddy. Tino said, they have confidence in me because I'm their father. And I have confidence in my Heavenly Father. I know that He will take me all the way across this chasm of life until I meet Him face to face. I don't have to do a balancing act, but I leave it up to Him. And that's the way that we have to do in serving the Lord. We have to leave circumstances, problems, all up to Him, and He will take care of it. Now, we're talking about the Corinthian church and how they were in need of wisdom. Last week, we talked about the problem with the Corinthian church because they're full of pride. And they had a lot of worldly people there. It was a worldly church. And Paul is going to tell them in later chapters that they need humility. But first, he's laying this groundwork of having wisdom in the Lord Jesus Christ to get their minds on spiritual things instead of on things of the world. He can't even talk to them about spiritual things because their mind is so much on the world. You know, we can lose sight of the things of God. We can be so caught up with things of this world that we lose sight of what's really important. And the important things is the spiritual things of life. Our life is but a vapor. We're here today and we're gone tomorrow. So we must be concerned about spiritual things because this world will pass away from us. I'm talking about the spirituality of walking in the Spirit and the spirituality of understanding grace and mercy and the power of God in our life to help us overcome the sins and the failures that are in our life. Now, in this church, we're going to later discover that there's a division in the church. There's various divisions in the church. And the problem of division was part of the reason that Paul was writing about understanding wisdom. But he always reminds them about his love toward them, even in his instructions to them, and how he thanks God for them, and that they've been called of God in spite of all their failures. You know, the Lord calls us no matter where we are in Him. He says, come as you are. And He'll make us new creatures. Now I want to read you 1 Corinthians 2 in the New Living Translation, where Paul is giving us a message on wisdom. Dear brothers and sisters, when I first came to you, I didn't use lofty words and brilliant ideas to tell you God's message. For I decided to concentrate only on Jesus Christ and His death on the cross. I came to you in weakness, timid, and trembling. And my message and my preaching was very plain. I didn't use wise and persuasive speeches, but the Holy Spirit was powerful among you. I did this so you might trust the power of God rather than human wisdom. Yet when I'm among mature believers, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world, who are being brought to nothing. No, the wisdom we speak of is the secret wisdom of God, which was hidden in former times, though He made it for our benefit before the world began. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. And that's what the Scripture means when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. But we know these things because God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. And His Spirit searches out everything and shows us even God's deep secrets. No one can really know what anyone else is really thinking except that person alone. and no one can know God's thoughts except through God's own Spirit. And God has actually given us His Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things that God has freely given us. And when we tell you this, we do not use words of human wisdom. We speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't Christians can't understand these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, because only those who have the Spirit can understand what the Spirit means. We who have the Spirit understand these things, but others can't understand us at all. How could they? For who can know what the Lord is thinking? Who can give Him counsel? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. Now, what is the mind of Christ? We've talked about this subject before, that it's walking in the Spirit of God, and the thing that Jesus is concerned about is righteousness, love, peace, joy, and hope. It's speaking to ourselves in hymns and psalms. I heard a minister say that Christians talk to themselves. But that's what the Scripture says for us to do. We are to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and walk in the Spirit. But I can remember in my earlier Christian life when I really didn't walk in that kind of mindset. I walked in worry and in a state of condemnation and was so trying to please God in my own efforts that I didn't rely on grace and mercy and trust in what He had done for me. I was always afraid and I stayed upset all the time because I was trying to live for God in my own efforts. I wasn't resting in the rest of God that He wanted me to rest in. I didn't feel the liberty that He had given me in the Spirit. Sometimes we're too quick to say that God has left us. We're too quick to say that God doesn't care. And we're too quick to say that He doesn't see our problems. But the truth is, He sees all of our problems. Now, there were many people in Jerusalem when He walked upon the earth who were not healed. And there were many people who died while He was in Jerusalem. Now, one would think that He could have taken care of all of those problems, and He could have. But He doesn't try to intervene with affairs of life. He doesn't try to stop all people from dying. I saw a movie the other day called On Borrowed Time with Lionel Barrymore. It was an old movie. He had a tree in his yard where he had trapped the angel of death. And while that angel of death was in his tree, no one in the town died. Well, there were many suffering old people in the town who were lingering on their bed of affliction, but yet they couldn't die. And the old doctor was trying to convince Lionel Barrymore to let the angel of death down so these people could be relieved and go on to glory. And only when his grandson had an accident and was severely injured and in great pain, and the only relief for his grandson was to die, that he let the angel of death down. But death is a part of life. Pain and sickness is a part of life. It's not God's will. He said the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And He didn't bring these things upon mankind. Mankind brought them upon themselves because of their sins. But He has given us remedies, and He is fighting against these things. They are His enemies as well as ours. Jesus said, I've come to give you life, and I give you life more abundant. And He said, I've come to destroy the works of the devil. And He told us, be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. And He has overcome death when He rose from the grave. And Paul wrote in Romans, O death, where is your victory? So we need not fear death, because that's our vehicle to glory. So even in the face of death, God gives life. He has provided for us. He says that these things are hidden from the world, Had they known who Jesus was, they would have never crucified him. Had they known. And the day will come when they will know him, that he is the Son of God. So we must seek after the Lord. He doesn't just pour out his Spirit on those who reject him. He said, don't cast your pearls before swine, to be trampled upon. But he is searching for those who will seek him and will hear him. We are the ones in need of salvation. God can do without each of us. There's always someone else that can do what we do. He said if we didn't praise him, the rocks would praise him. God will receive glory whether we give him glory or not. He owes us nothing, but we owe it all to him. But yet, though he had no debt, he paid our debt. He died for us on Calvary. So walking in the wisdom of God is a great treasure, and Paul had found it. God had to reveal that to Paul because he was a worldly person at the time. And even though he was in religion, he was still a worldly person because he was looking at God through the wisdom of this world, and he thought that he was doing God a service by killing the Christians and causing them to deny the Lord Jesus. He thought he was obeying God with that until God revealed to him his plan of salvation. Of all the people on the earth, you would have never thought that God would have chosen Paul. They said that he was a small man and that he was not very special to look upon. He says himself in today's lesson that he wasn't a very good speaker. He said he didn't come to them in wisdom of words and he wasn't charismatic. But Paul was an intelligent person. He was very well educated. He had sat at the feet of Gamaliel, the leader of the Pharisees, in knowing the Scripture. So Paul had abilities, but he didn't depend upon his abilities. He also came from a very good background, but he didn't use that either. He didn't use any circumstance of his life to say that you ought to hear me because of who my father was, my grandfather was, or what university I attended, or how well I speak. In fact, some of the ways that he spoke, we have evidence of in the Scripture. Some people were irritated by the way he spoke, and they complained about him. So he was nothing so that you would look on him in a worldly way to show that he had any wisdom about him. In fact, if you were of the world, you probably thought he lost his mind because he was proclaiming a man who died on a cross that he had rose again. But he told these Corinthians later, he says, you boast in who you are. But he said, I want to see the power of God in your life. If you can't produce the power of God in your life to live righteously, then don't tell me how wonderful you are and how close to God that you are. Because he says that's what separates us here in the wisdom of God from the wisdom of the world. Who is able to overcome the things in this life unless they have the power of God working within them? Those who have the Spirit of God understand spiritual things, but the others cannot because they know not what the Lord is thinking. But those who follow the Lord have the Spirit of God which teaches them. We have read that the Spirit of God teaches us into all truth and guides us and tells us what's right and wrong. And that's the problem with our world today. They don't know right from wrong. They call right wrong and wrong right. But we as believers should hold up the banner of Christ and try to lead others to the Lord by speaking the true wisdom of the Word. That's the wisdom of God. Paul says that God used the means of preaching, which is foolishness to the world, to tell people about the things of God. And there are those today who don't want to hear the Word. They don't want to go to church. They don't want to study their Bible. But there's many that can't go to church. They're homebound. But the church is still important to those who are able to go. Why should we go to church? A churchgoer wrote a letter to the editor of a newspaper and complained that it made no sense to go to church every Sunday. "I've gone for 30 years now," he wrote, "and in that time I've heard something like 3,000 sermons, and for the life of me, I can't remember a single one of them. So I'm thinking I'm wasting my time, and the pastors are wasting their time by giving sermons at all." Well, this started a real controversy in the letters to the editor column, and it went on for weeks with people writing their comments. And one man wrote, "I've been married for 30 years now, and in that time my wife has cooked 32,000 meals. But for the life of me, I cannot recall the entire menu of one single meal. But I know this, they all nourished me, and they gave me the strength I needed to do my work. And if my wife hadn't given me these meals, I would be physically dead today. Likewise, if I hadn't gone to church for spiritual nourishment, I'd be spiritually dead right now." So we thank God for our physical and our spiritual nourishment that comes from His Word and from His Spirit. And so it's the Spirit of God who works through the means of preaching to give us nourishment and to tell us how to live. And that's the wisdom of God. Now Paul said in verse 9, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God's prepared for those who love Him." And many have taken that scripture and said, "Well, it's hidden from us and nobody can know it." But if you read in verse 15, he says, "But we who have the Spirit understand these things." You know, we know about the joy of serving the Lord, don't we? But others can't understand it at all. How could they? For who can know what the Lord's thinking, or who could give Him counsel? But we can understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. And that's how we know what God is thinking and what He's saying to us. Jesus called us His friends. He said, "I don't keep anything from my friends. I tell my friends what I'm doing and what I'm going to do." And the Lord will reveal to us what He has for us in our life if we'll turn to Him and we'll talk to Him and listen to Him and seek His Word. He will give us the wisdom that we need. Please pray this prayer with me. Father, we're in need of Your wisdom. We know the wisdom of this world cannot lead to eternal life. We need Your wisdom, and we need You to reveal Jesus to us, Father, that we may serve Him, for He is altogether lovely. We ask, Father, that You would forgive our sins and deliver us from evil. Draw us unto Thyself, we ask, in the lovely name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we thank You for being with us today. And if you don't have a church home, we wish to invite you to All Seasons Worship Center on Highway 35 South in Forest, Mississippi. You can listen to this broadcast again on our website at www.secondredemption.com. That is www.2ndredemption.com, secondredemption.com. Tune in next Sunday at this same time. You can support this broadcast with your prayers and telling others about the program. Thanks for listening. May the Lord bless you in the reading of His Word.
And He's laying